Adam. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 417. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nicole Shiro, Nick to the First Power.
It's just me.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Every week we look at theater from all sorts of different angles. Won't you please stick around and not go away? Thank you so much.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Have you been writing those letters to yourself?
Dear it Adam is Ant, Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. On the show today, we have Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare and their show As You Like It, and also we will be joined by Shrewd Productions' production of The Revolutionists, and of course we are going to have some lively discussions of the world of theater in New York City, in Austin, Texas, in Los Angeles, Illinois, and Los Angeles, California. Stick around.
I'm kind of coming up empty, can't find my way to you.
Okay, yeah. Los Angeles, California, or Los Angeles, what'd I say? Some other state. Yeah. Illinois, yeah, it exists. It does.
It's true.
It's a little chaotic here in the studio today.
It's a crazy
We love it.
Day.
And we're missing Mr.
The other Nick.
The other Nick.
I'm
no
not
Nick squared
today.
Yeah.
I'm missing my Nick.
I was surprised by not having him here.
Well, he forgot apparently he was going to Seattle for his godson's.
There
something.
It is. Well, it's nice to have a godson.
So,
you know,
I so have a goddaughter. I don't have a godson.
I don't got a god nothing.
I'll be your goddaughter.
Oh, would you? Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Are you saying I'm old?
No.
That was funny. That was just a way to make it fun.
Oh, okay. But I'm old too, so.
So, that's true. So, I was checking in with Nick to the First Power, which we just did. How are you doing? You crazy?
Yes, I am.
Well,
I am.
Yeah. Let's talk about real quick, like in this section right here, we took a field trip.
We took a field trip.
You took a field trip?
We took a field trip.
We took a field trip in to
Chick-fil-A.
San Antonio to see the Revolting Children.
We saw Matilda, and it was quite fun.
It was quite fun.
But you know what? One of the things that really came home to me, came home to roost, is how close San Antonio is to Austin,
yeah.
Texas.
It is. The Majestic? Where was it?
And
it
we
was
were at the Majestic, which is such a beautiful theater.
It's such a beautiful theater, but as I said to Lisa, and I said this to Amy, every time I'm in there because of the crazy facade in there, I just want to start singing It's a Small World.
It absolutely does look like
that. I feel like I'm in a ride, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, there's Tokyo.
Is, it just dawned on me that it is not symmetrical up there either. So
no.
It's like one side, so for those that haven't been to the Majestic, your homework is to go to the Majestic. But it has got landscapes. It looks like an alpine city.
Well, you know, it's kind of...
With
peacocks and cactus. I mean, it's Roman,
yes.
But then it's...
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know, but it's really cool.
They also do that gradient sky on the ceiling.
Yes.
With little stars.
Yep.
So you can
yes.
just stare up
yeah.
while you wait for the show to
yeah.
start.
Yeah,
or
well,
during the show if it's really boring.
But Matilda Which wasn't is, that.
Oh, okay. I did check a little bit of the stars. I enjoyed Matilda. Although I did not
Nicole's
enjoy it as much
fan.
As I thought I would.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you. If that was the only time I saw Matilda, I would have been really bummed.
Yeah.
I'm
really?
So glad I saw it on Broadway. For the mere fact, it has nothing to do with the talent. As I said when I saw it in New York, that set, you can't move it. You can't
yeah.
move Scrabble boards out. You cannot yeah. physically
that being said, I think
move that entire show.
As
what
someone that didn't
did
see it, I thought they did a good job.
Really
the set was really beautiful.
Awesome. I was like, if you didn't know the other, you wouldn't
but,
know what
but
you were
the
missing.
The national tour cast was good. Is that
really
I
good, yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
yeah.
I think, you know, it wasn't 100% in my opinion.
Trench
but the girl that
was really good. I like Trench.
Wasn't crazy about Trench. So this is what makes horse races.
But Matilda was awesome.
Matilda was
Matilda.
Good. Of course, it's hard. You know, when you have a little sprite of a girl, it's hard. It's hard to not like them because what does W.C. Fields say? Never worked with children or animals?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
She was no Millie Shapiro, though.
She was no Millie Shapiro. Let's introduce the folks that are here that you've been listening to their disembodied voices. But before we do that, I got to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar.
He rocks it internationally.
He rocks it internationally. Oh! So we have Ann Ciccolella here, our co-host.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome back. We
Thank
always
you.
Love having you here. Anne Marie Curry, welcome back.
Did you just call me Anne Marie Curry?
I did. Sarah Marie Curry.
Lisa Sheps.
You know, if I don't read it, I'm lost. Sarah Marie Curry.
But I know you.
I know. If you wouldn't mind changing it to Anne Marie, I'd find that much easier.
I'll talk to my mom.
Sarah Marie Curry. I did just call you Anne Marie Curry. And Shannon Grounds.
Hello.
And I must say that, Sarah Marie, that you and I met as you were my teacher for improv. And what is the rule of improv?
Have fun.
No.
Say yes.
A yes and. So you should have been.
I don't know, man.
You should have been Anne Marie Curry.
I should have. Oh. I hope my
okay.
students aren't listening.
And let me introduce the young Shakespeareans. And I don't know you guys, so I won't be able to do it in order. Although I do know Gabrielle Lewis.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? And then Owen Chance.
Hi.
Oh, good. That microphone works. Asher Lipscomb.
Hi.
And Hannah Rutt.
Hello there.
And then Maddie Dietz.
Yeah.
Did I miss anybody? I don't think I did. I've got
no.
two other names here, but that's it. Well, great. So we're going to start out right away by talking about the Tonys. Who here saw the Tonys?
I'm going to raise my
hand. Oh, you know what? I need to say that Jess Hughes is also in the house.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We gave her a job. She'll be working it today for us.
So did anybody see it or was everybody rehearsing?
Rehearsing.
I'm telling you, I think that there should not be rehearsal on Tony nights.
I agree with you on that one.
But there is such thing as a DVR. Did everybody see it? And no, I guess
Clips,
that's what I asked.
Nothing.
All right. Well, then I guess this will be a very one-sided conversation.
Wait a minute.
But I'm very interested. I want to hear things.
Yeah. So you did not see it either, Anne,
no.
at all. Okay. Well, great. So overall, what'd you think?
Can I say? Well, I mean, I don't think you missed a lot.
Yep. I would agree.
To be honest with you.
I would agree.
Best number of the whole entire night. Best performance. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
And here's the kicker. I agree.
Yeah. Wow. It really, like, the songs they chose for all the other show. Mwah. Okay, here's the kicker. Are you ready for this one? We all mm-hmm. know my Patti LuPone thing. I watched the whole number and didn't turn it down when Patti LuPone sang.
Oh, good for you. Well, and speaking of Patti
well,
LuPone came and sang.
It looks good, the war paint. But
War paint did not look good to
me. I love Christina.
There was just nothing good about war paint for me.
Bob,
Shannon Grounds and Anne Marie Curry are over there shaking their heads. Why, Sarah Marie? Why are you shaking your heads?
I don't know. I just felt good
okay.
to do it.
Yeah, no, war paint I could live without. But the number at the end, the closing number, can we talk about that?
What was that? Were they all at Studio 54 after a few cocktails and just started to lounge sing?
Well, no,
I literally stopped it in a race.
It was a Bobby Darin number, and he did the show about Bobby Darin, but it was a ballad, and it was like deadly. And so you finish this big award ceremony, and you end with a ballad?
With Patti LuPone and Kevin Spacey singing, going, "Winners, just come on out." And then the winners were all like, "Where do we go?"
Wait. Who hosted, though?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What did we think of Kevin?
I mean, I didn't think he was bad, but I didn't think it was anything exciting.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny that he made fun of himself being the 15th choice to be the host at the beginning.
What was Lisa going to say?
Why is he imitating other people? We're not SNL in a sketch comedy show.
It's interesting. So most things that I read and I agree with is that the opening number was okay. It wasn't great. It was pretty... not good, but what the hell was this with all these impressions he did? He did a decent Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson was great, but why was Johnny Carson at the Tonys?
And Bill Clinton and then
his own character from House of Cards.
And Robin Wright and the guy that plays Doug Stemper came out on stage and said nothing. They weren't introduced or anything, which is
but
sort of
they
silly.
They pretended to be like, it didn't work for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's just talk about that number again with the Grobes.
No, we're going past that.
With Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet.
Yeah, we already did that.
They passed out the vodka in the aisles.
Okay,
it was everything.
So we've only got a certain amount of time, so we can't catch up. So here's the other thing. James Earl Jones won a special award, but didn't merit being on the main telecast, and I think that is abhorrent and wrong.
Uh-huh.
R-O-N-G wrong.
I agree with you. I didn't understand that. I'm like, wait a minute. They did his earlier? Okay, this doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so we talked about of the musical numbers. Your favorite was Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Which is, I agree. And what they did the best was, is that was one of the ones that I was able to see. Did you see?
I saw the original production.
In the tent. What was that like?
It was fun. I mean, it was more eating and drinking. I told Nicole one of our actors was in it, so it was fun to see.
Who was in it?
Blake DeLong.
Oh, Blake DeLong.
Called.
Blake DeLong.
Oh,
Blake.
Called. I like Blake DeLong better. DeLong. Wasn't he in that show with Anne-Marie Curry that one time?
He was great. He was a peach to work with. Really nice.
Yeah, he was good. So the one of the things that they did that I really liked was all the nominees for Best Play. The playwright was introduced.
They did a
synopsis of the play themselves, which I thought was really lovely.
Which was something they did like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and you and I talked about it, and mm-hmm. we loved it. And I was like, "Why'd that go away?" Well, it came back, and I did enjoy
a little
that.
Respect.
Yes,
a little interest. God forbid we should see a scene from a straight play.
We did. There was one year that they did a very short scene.
I remembered that, and yeah. I loved that.
Me too.
Sad that it went away.
With you.
Well, it used to be years ago. The Tonys always had scenes. That's how
I was like,
we in the hinterlands
growing up. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
So the other thing that I want to talk about, the Miss Saigon, the number for Miss Saigon, what's her name? Eva Noble Zara. Oh my God. She right off the bat, they chose a very heavy
song. I go, what a
heavy,
heavy
song.
Choice.
And right away, she had to get to this space where her boyfriend just died. And it was right at the top of the show. It was this first number. Mm. And she nailed it.
Yeah, I heard she's really true. Yeah.
She was incredible.
Of course, the helicopter made an appearance.
The helicopter did make an appearance. So the only, all the winners were no surprises. The only thing that was in question before we even turned on the television was it going to be Come For Away or Dear Evan Hansen? And it was?
Dear Evan Hansen.
Which is what we played at the opening of the show.
Yes.
The other thing that happened prior, which we talked about, is that there was going to be no Bette Midler singing in the show, and that was a Scott Rudin kind of thing. And indeed, at first when I saw the, and maybe Anne, you can help me because I can't remember the name of it, that runway that goes on the other side.
Passerelle?
The passerelle. When I saw the passerelle was there, and I don't know if they do that every year, they might.
It's been out there for a few years
because
Hughes danced on it.
One of the things that happens in this Hello Dolly during the waiter's dance is they jump over the passerelle. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that passerelle and I said, oh, maybe they're going to do it. But they didn't. They did this, the number that was cut from the original.
Should have been cut and stayed. Cut.
And should have stayed cut. Thank you.
I was like, that is what you chose to put on the Tonys.
Something's wrong. We're agreeing too much.
And so what are your thoughts about Bette Midler yelling at the orchestra?
That was another thing. Oh, my God.
That really annoyed me.
It annoyed me, too. So those people that didn't see it, so in all the awards ceremonies, you have music that gently tells you, and then they ramp up the volume. And she just was droning on and on and on.
She
and she kept telling them to shut up.
And
shut up. And she waited. And then it finished. And so I was expecting something that was going, she wanted to do a political statement
right.
or something. But what she did was a commercial for Hello Dolly.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to be like, wait, honey, your tickets are $850 and you couldn't get up there and perform for the rest of the world to see it? Way to make theater more
but
inaccessible.
But here's the deal. The audience was in love with her. They were cheering her on.
I love her, but I'm mad at her right
and
now
I haven't
heard, Dolly.
And I haven't heard anything bad. And I've heard no negatives on that, which makes me a little angry because if it were you and I accepting our Tonys and we did that, they'd get the
why
hook.
Why was she more special than anyone else? That made me angry.
Hook.
And all I've seen is praise on it. And I'm like, really? For disrespecting? And yeah, that's not
okay.
Cool.
Okay, we have five
she
more minutes.
She looked smoking, by the way. That dress was
she's great.
Everything.
She was great. We got 5 more minutes. I need to be really strict on time this time because we got a lot of stuff to talk to. But the other thing about the Tonys, and then we can... There's so much more I want to talk about with the
Julius
Tonys.
Julius Caesar.
We're going to get there, but I just need to talk about this. Introducing Bandstand... I actually had to. I didn't hear the introduction, and I saw this woman get up, and I saw a standing ovation for her. And I'm going,
you didn't know
"Who
she
is
was?
This person?" And it was Dr. Jill Biden.
Yeah, it was Jill Biden.
It was amazing. It was really, really wonderful to see
her. She was very choked up by the applause and the response that she got.
And that number on Bandstand did really, really well, and I think that it's going to help their box office.
It was one of my other favorite numbers. I'm like, who, really Bandstand right now?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how exciting the numbers were this year.
And the last thing that is Tony adjacent, but not Tony, that I'll just announce this. Three shows have already announced their closing notices. Sweat is closing June 25th, as is Indecent. And I want to get to New York to see both of those. 6 Degrees of Separation is closing this Sunday.
Not so sad. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Julius Caesar at the Delcourt Theater. People have heard of this, right? Yes, what's going on with Julius Caesar? Okay, yes. Yeah, Young Shakespeare, it's Shakespeare. So this was what I had expected us to be talking about with this production was the fact that Mark Antony. That's my Bronx. Mark Antony is played by a woman. So I thought that was going to be the thing we were talking about, but it wasn't. A video was leaked of the killing scene and the Caesar that they have is
assassination, because that's what it is.
Well, it is. Is a Trump. There's no question that this person is Trump. His wife is played by a Slavic woman, a tall, beautiful Slavic woman, and it is definitely a Trump-esque thing. So with that was leaked to Breitbart through Breitbart and through Fox News, and Bank of America and Delta?
Mm-hmm.
Pulled their support.
Bank of America did its shady while the Tonys were happening tweeting.
Even American Express and the National Endowment of the Arts distanced themselves from the production.
Oh, the National Endowment point blank said, we did not give any money or funding for this. Stop blaming us.
Correct. Because Eric Trump tweeted, I wonder how much public money is going to this production. But the point is, and what I want to talk about, I thought about this a lot. And first of all, the New York Times exploded. There were probably five articles about this in the New York Times. They did review early, which is one thing that the public theater is very upset with them about. But they felt that since it was out there for the public that they should go ahead and do it. Their review was positive. And they basically said, and I am beginning to agree. I wasn't sure at first when I heard this, but I think, first of all, how do people feel about just the idea of having a standing president depicted in Julius Caesar being assassinated?
It bothers me, but it bothered me when they did it in 2012 with Obama as the subject. Mm-hmm. I was bothered by both because it's a sitting president, not who the person is. Ironically, Delta funded that 2012 version and didn't pull the money.
The Obama one, which traveled all over the country, had nothing, not a peep. Nobody said anything bad about it.
Here's my beef with it. Everybody's like, this is great. But yet everybody, and I'm not saying what this woman did a few weeks ago is right, but you can't say Kathy Griffin is wrong for doing something and then turn around and say, but this is right.
There are two different things. I'm actually on the side
of... But it's art and art.
No, it's not. Well, it's art and art, but they are two different things. First of all, this is Julius Caesar. Shakespeare wrote it. They did not stray from the text. They added three words to the entire text. And the message is anti-violence and anti... There is nothing good about the assassination of Caesar and Julius Caesar.
All the people that assassinate either die from being murdered, have suicide, or don't do well in life in general afterwards. So it's a kind of like a, hey, this is not a good thing.
So, I wish we had more time to talk about this, but we're so running short of time. On offstageonair.com, there is going to be a link to like several different articles in the New York Times talking about this. There's a wonderful interview with Oscar Eustace, who's the director and also the artistic director of the public theater, who actually directed this, and talking about his process and whether he thinks this was right or wrong. Of course, he's defending himself. He, as well as the public, have defended their actions and their artistic integrity. And I have to say I agree at this point.
Their statement that they put out that was short and sweet, I liked. I think, you know what I think is awesome about it? Everybody's talking about Shakespeare.
Yep.
Yeah. I was and about everybody's to say. Talking about politics. And you know what? That's the greatest thing that could ever happen. Whether you think it's right or wrong, everybody's
talking Shakespeare. It just obscures a little that the production is supposed to be really good. And the speaking of Shakespeare and the acting is supposed to be really good. And Elizabeth Marvel is Brutus. My God.
The cast
so
is.
So I'm, you know, I mean, it's good it's getting attention, but I wish it would get more artistic attention rather than.
Elizabeth Marvel is Mark Anthony. Brutus is a man in this one.
Is that right?
Yep. Yep. As a matter of fact, that's the other thing that they said, that, that all the people that killed Caesar were, a good portion of them were people of color. And what did that mean?
Oh, I mean, so, I guess we could really read into everything if we really wanted to.
We have no more time. And feel free to correct me. Go ahead, Sarah.
I was just going to say art is about creating dialogue.
I agree.
Good job. Right?
Which is exactly what Eustace said. It's, you know, what we like to do is try to get people talking, and we've done that. So
yeah, then three cheers for us. Hats off on that.
And three cheers for them.
Yeah.
This is tangentially, was I right?
You're right.
Oh, it does. It so rarely happens. I so got nervous. So one of my podcasts I listen to, I'm going to stay political, and I should say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are those of our own and not the radio station, the board of directors, or its employees. David Plotz of the Political Gabfest started talking about this. We're spending so much time to save $15,000 or 15,000 jobs of coal miners. And he went this huge diatribe of other industries that have and the amounts of people in them. And I edited this down so that it's mostly artistic, but I want folks to just listen to this.
So there are 15,000 coal miners and there's 69,000 people in the bowling industry. 15,000 coal miners, 127,000 drywall installers. 15,000 coal miners, 82,000 composers. 15,000 coal miners, 100,000 event planners. 15,000 coal miners, 20,000 dancers. 15,000 coal miners, 50,000 artists. 15,000 coal miners, and just if you think of sixth grade teachers, there are 250,000 public school sixth grade teachers in the United States. So I find it amazing the amount of energy we've spent focusing on that, and I would like to talk more about drywall installers instead.
So I've never heard this argument pointed this way. We're spending so much time talking about bringing coal mining back when, you know, artists, how many composers, and I think those numbers are bigger.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna come back and talk to Austin Shakespeare. It's young Shakespeare. So I played the winner of the best musical coming in. So it's only fair to do the winner of the best revival going out. And this is the song we should have heard during the tones.
Hello, Harry.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Nicole Shiro.
I believe I just said that.
It's an echo. I know, but it's really sad to go, just me.
We normally get Nick Square.
We normally get Nick Square with the two of us. And it's just.
Well, let's just jump right into As You Like It, shall we?
Yes.
Shall we do it As You Like It?
As You Like It, Lisa.
So here we go. We're talking to young Shakespeare's, and we get these folks on every year and always have just a great time. Their production of As You Like It, which is going to be done over at Richard Garriott's Curtain Theater. And we have here the artistic director of the Austin Shakespeare and the director of this piece.
Yeah.
Ann Ciccolella.
Thanks for having
us. Co-host extraordinaire.
Thank you.
And then we have, let's see if I can do this in order. I bet you I can't. But I do know I have a Robin Karsner. Right up to the microphone and say hello.
Nodding is not good.
Hello. Nodding does not work on the... we have Owen Chance.
Hi there.
Hannah Rutt.
Hello.
Oh, I was so close. Asher Lipscomb.
Hi.
Okay, now I'm going the opposite direction. Yeah, okay. Maddie Dietz. And Gabrielle Lewis.
Hello again.
Yay. Well, we're so thrilled to have all you guys on the show here. And I'm just going to ask you all just to bring your physical bodies closer to these microphones so that it's easier for you
they
to get there.
They all did that. It was like choreographed. They all went up like it was.
That's because I'm a director
line,
and I did my hands like this. All right. So somebody wants to tell me about what this show's all about.
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
Oh,
Of course, I will do that. This show focuses around Rosalind, who is banished from her uncle's court, and her cousin Celia joins her into the forest, where Rosalind is disguised as a man, and she sets up this plan to test the love of her love interest. Orlando is his name.
You had to think about that a little bit.
Just
so
a little.
This is one of Shakespeare's tragedies?
No.
No, it's a comedy. It's a history. This is a true story.
I don't think anyone actually dies in
it. In the microphone.
I don't think anyone actually dies this time.
No? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
And there's a lion in the forest in France, so it's not really accurate.
And you directed this piece. Take on this that you want to talk about? Is it what time era are we set in? What are the costumes?
It's my favorite Shakespeare play. It is.
Good.
I thought Caesar was.
No.
I have to say that was the cutest thing I've ever seen you say, by the way. You got totally cute. Yeah. It's my favorite Shakespeare play.
Caesar was the first Shakespeare play I ever did as a sophomore and all that. Anyway, we are doing it kind of Ren Fair.
Oh, okay.
So it's loose, but it's period, but there's contemporary music in it. So we have some singing, some dancing.
Some juggling?
No juggling.
Okay, so that's my
thing
I like about it.
We have a red nose.
We have a red nose.
Yeah. In the show. You'll have to come.
I will come. Missed one. I will be out there.
Good.
Okay, let's go down the row and tell me who you play and a little bit about the character. Start with Gabrielle.
I am playing Rosalind. She is a very clever young lady, and she...
We call those CYAs, CYLs.
And she has her dear cousin named Celia that she's very close with.
I'm Hannah Rutt, and I'm playing Celia, Rosalind's cousin.
Hannah Rutt, I just have to interrupt you, because you did the cutest thing when she mentioned Celia. You did this little thing with your hands under your chin.
Yeah,
like,
princess
she's talking
hands.
About me.
Yeah, it's the thing, because Celia's not just her cousin, but she's kind of her best friend as well. Uh-huh. So it's kind of got this partner in crime sort of feel to it.
Bosom buddies.
And do you and Gabrielle get along, because y'all decided to stand next to
one
another?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
I'm Asher Lipscomb. I'm playing Duke Frederick, who is the evil Duke, and also Duke Senior, who is the good Duke. Duke Frederick.
You're playing multiple Dukes?
Yes. I'm
You're
playing
Duke
all
squared.
The Dukes. And Duke Frederick is the evil Duke that banishes Rosalind from his court, and he also banished his brother, Duke Senior, who I am also playing. And Duke Senior, after getting banished, he kind of becomes like a merry man of the forest, and he has his band of lords and everything, and he's just a really fun guy.
How do you... he's not a mushroom.
No.
Right, okay.
Funny you should mention a mushroom.
Oh, okay, so we're gonna skip over to Owen, because that evidently mushrooms have something to do with you.
I'm embarrassed for you too, Owen.
I'm Owen. I play Orlando.
The mushroom.
No, not the mushroom. The reason... mushroom was a different character I played a year ago.
Mr. Mushroom, who was a stand-up comic.
I was a stand-up comedian who happened to be a literal mushroom.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovely. Put your stems together.
Exactly.
I have been there.
No, but Orlando is the youngest son of a dead lord, and his eldest brother has been really mean to him, so he eventually runs away to the forest, where he tries to become, just kind of live off the land, but then he's like, whoa, there's a dude here who's teaching me how to love, and it's great fun.
Awesome. Maddie?
All right, I'm playing Adam, who is an elderly servant who absolutely adores Orlando, follows him into the forest, nearly dies, and is somehow revived by, like, three grapes. And also Audrey, who is a country gal who lives out in the Forest of Arden, who is wooed by Touchstone the Jester within the span of 2 months.
Oh my gosh. And finally, Robin.
Hi, I play Touchstone, and Touchstone is kind of the smart aleck of the group, kind of always cracking jokes, and he actually goes with Rosalind and Celia to the forest and finds Audrey and kind of makes it his mission to woo her.
Awesome. Well, we're going to hear a little bit of lines from each of you in a second. But first, before we got started, we asked, I think, Asher, was it you that I asked to pick a number?
Yeah.
Yeah, right into the microphone. What number did I ask you to pick? Or what number did you pick?
Well, originally I picked 37.
And I put the kibosh on that.
Yeah, so I picked 25.
25. Let's see what 25 is. Here we go.
I'm Meredith McCall, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Meredith McCall. That's a wonderful.
Meredith in a while. That was a nice one.
Excellent. So let's go through. We know that each of you are going to do a line from the show. So let's go the opposite direction, starting with Robin. And if you wouldn't mind, say your name, the character you're going to be reading, and read the line, and we'll just go right through.
Okay, my name is Robin, and I'm Touchstone. So, yeah. For all your riders do consent that Ipse is he. Now you are not the Ipse, for I am he.
Yes.
I'm Owen. This is from Orlando. The spirit of my father grows strong within me, and I will no longer endure this.
You're mean.
All right, I'm Maddie, and I'll be reading for Audrey. I do not know what poetical is. Is it honest? Is it a true thing?
Okay, I do want to stop here and remind you guys that you're not auditioning, so you already got the part. I say that because she said, I'm reading for, which is what people say at auditions.
Hi, I'm Asher. This is Duke Senior. Oh God, I just forgot it. Okay.
It's the actor's nightmare. You're totally cool.
Your gentleness shall force us more than your force move us to gentleness.
Excellent.
I'm Hannah Rutt, and I'm playing Celia.
You must borrow me, gargantuous mouth.
Wow.
I'm Gabrielle Lewis. I'm playing Rosalind. For I must tell you, friendly in your ear, sell when you can. You are not for all markets.
Ooh, that's, you know what? I can't tell you how many times I heard that on first dates. Very, very sad. So who here has done a young Shakespeare before?
I have.
And I have.
I have.
So so half of you have and half of you haven't. So let's talk to the folks that haven't. And I forgot your name.
Maddie,
yes. Tell us about your
experience. First of all, Maddie, tell them how old you are.
Oh, I am 14. And Austin Shakespeare is like the most professional Shakespeare production I've ever been in. And they're really cool with like incorporating in contemporary pieces, but keeping it really true to the text, which is incredible to do, really.
Oh my.
Her face lit up when she said that. That was exciting.
That was cool. Maddie, what about, you're Maddie, sorry. I'm trying to
Asher
remember Asher.
Okay. Should I tell how old I am too?
Sure.
Okay. I'm 17.
She didn't seem very happy about doing that. I would be very happy to say I was 17.
Me too. Well, you know, I haven't really been doing acting that much. I usually try and stick to wardrobe stuff. So this was my first time auditioning for something outside of school. So I was a little bit surprised when I got a part. But it's been a really great experience. I've made some really awesome friends in the company. And I feel like every day at rehearsal, it just gets more and more fun. Even though we're working in the heat all the time, somehow it's fun.
Yeah, because it's hot out there. Owen, what about you? How's this experience been for you?
It's been really great. I learned about it from one of my friends, Allie, who's in the show. She was there several years. And so she made me audition, and then I somehow
got
in.
Forced you.
I mean, it was half forced, half willing. So I was like, fine, I'll do it. But it's been a lot of fun. I was surprised because I knew we'd be outside for hours on end. So I was a little bit skeptical, but it turned out great.
Okay. So Robin, tell us about the theater itself, because you've been, how many years have you been doing this?
This is my second year.
Okay. Tell us about the theater.
So the theater is a replica of the Globe Theater, and it is right on the lake outside. It's beautiful, and it's so cool because we actually kind of feel like we're in a forest, so it's really cool for this production. It's I think it's challenging for all of us because it's outside, so it's different from the spaces we're used to working in, in that we have to project very loud, kind of yelling, and Anne's really good at keeping us accountable for that. And also just dealing with nature around us. We're not really used to that when we're acting, so it's definitely a challenge, and I think it's helping us grow a lot as actors.
Awesome. So Hannah and Gabrielle, tell folks why they might want to come here. Tell them about their experience that it might be in coming out to the theater. We're just about out of time, but I want to give some people, we talk about it here before, but I thought it'd be great to come from you. Why do people want to come and see your show?
This is my fifth year with Young Shakespeare, and I keep coming back because of the unique experience of acting out at the curtain. If you are lucky enough to be in the audience, you get to form this great connection with the actors because you are so close, and it's just a really like great surround sound kind of experience where you feel that you can connect to the characters in the play.
6 years. And Hannah, how many years have you been?
This is my second year.
Okay.
I think something really cool as an audience member is that there's two tiers of seating. So there's one seating that you kind of look out right onto the stage, and there's one where you're almost looking down on the stage. And it's not a traditional proscenium either. It goes kind of almost three quarters of the way around the stage. So as an actor, there's really no place to hide on the stage. So your audience has more fun kind of observing from different angles.
There you go. So when do you guys open?
This Thursday.
This Thursday. And do you know when you close?
June 25th.
June 25th. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what time is curtain?
Eight o'clock.
Oh, you know what? That's why this happened. I have double things here. So 8 o'clock curtain out at Richard Garriott's Curtain Theater.
Can I say 1 30-second sadness?
Please.
Well, you know, the property's up for sale.
No.
$45 million.
No.
You could have it, Lisa. You could make it your party pack.
Well, that would be... Yeah, I've got that in my wallet, but...
So this could be the last time we are at the Curtain Theater.
That is very sad.
Yeah, so I like to think that we'll get it next year.
I would like to see if the radio people could have seen Lisa's face of total disappointment when she just heard
so
that.
So people who are postponing, don't. Because it's such a special place, and it'll be a special memory to share if you buy it.
Absolutely. And if you have not been out to Richard Garriott's Curtain, you need to go. It's a really wonderful experience. It's beautiful out there. And these wonderful young actors would really make your time worthwhile, I think.
I watched it last night in rehearsal, and I really enjoyed you all.
Well, great. Well, we have got to move on, so I'm going to thank Anne Ciccolella.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Gabrielle Lewis, Owen Chance, Asher Lipskin, Hannah Rutt, Robin Karsner, Maddie Dietz, and Jess Hughes for all coming down here. They're with Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare, As You Like It, at Richard Garriott's Curtain Theater from the 15th of this month to the 25th. For more information, austinshakespeare.org. And this is actually from a production of As You Like It. Or, yeah, As You Like It. That's the one. What shall he have? We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Nicole Shiro.
And Jess Hughes, you're staying with
and
us.
Yay. She's got a job. She can't leave.
Awesome. Oh, that's right. She does have a job.
She's co-hosted.
So we have just 5 minutes to talk local stuff, and I actually have several things on here that I wanted to discuss. We're going out of order, so I'm trying to find what page on the thing it is. Here it is. You went to go see After the Curtain at the Long Center.
I did. That Travis Walls Dance Company, Shaping Sound. Whoa.
Was that again? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Whoa. He's been here before touring. He's still on the tour. Emmy Award winning dancer. I sent you some of the links and
you
some
did.
Of the pieces. Did you
it
watch
looked beautiful.
Any of them? Did you like
it? I did.
Very blessed that came here. I really enjoyed that. So, so shapingsound.co, I think you can find out of the rest of their tour and where they're going and keep up to date on their next show. He's always popping out new creative stuff.
It looked really great. And now I am infamous for not going on Facebook. I'm probably one of the worst Facebookers
out
there.
No, I'm right up there with you.
But I went on today, and I forgot who it was. But somebody put a note on saying, I'm cleaning my house. I want some musicals to listen to. And there were some 60 messages and replies to that with all sorts. And it wasn't your standard musicals. And I just sort of want to talk about, I really love the community here. And most most everybody was local. There were some people, local people that have moved away and are now New Yorkers. And it was just really wonderful.
Did
to
it
see
make
that.
You go and listen to any albums?
It
or
made
go,
me want
hey,
to because I had.
What
there,
album?
There are
Give
few,
me one.
I can't remember. There are a few that I had that I went, oh, I've got to check that out.
You know what one I hated at my first listen, but I can't stop listening to now? The American Psycho by Duncan Sheik.
Listen, you don't have to sell me on that one. I've been a fan of it since it was in England.
Man, I can't stop.
It's brilliant.
It's so good.
Musically, like even without the lyrics, yeah. It's so cerebral.
The first time I heard it, I was just like, ugh, Duncan Sheik being Duncan Sheik. Yes. And now I'm like, Duncan Sheik, you peach.
He's chic. That's with a C.
I wish Homeboy came in his underwear every time, too, as the album was playing.
Dreamy.
Yeah. So, but that was great. I just wanted to say that it was really great to hear that of the community. And speaking of the community, this is something that I've known of about for a while, but I just thought we could collectively send really positive vibes out to Frank Binge.
Yes.
He is, and he's been very public with this on Facebook as well. And he is fighting stage 2 cancer. And his spirits seem to be up. Now, Frank has been on this show several times. He is a critic, an actor, and a director here in town. And
yeah,
I don't know.
He's really, I'm like, boy, he has just had the most positive outlook on everything. We could all get a little slice of that happy.
Yep. Yeah, I need a little bit of that right now, too.
Yeah.
So so that's it. And that's the other. And I don't know if I had this on the thing from last week, but I don't know that if we talked about it. But Penfold Theater is doing their Summer in the Park.
I believe someone in here is in that show.
Oh,
who's
hello.
In it? Jess, are you in it?
Yeah, I'm in it.
Oh, lovely. It's Around the World in 80 Days. And how? I'm glad you're on here. How many? One more weekend?
We've got two more weekends.
Two more weekends, this weekend and next weekend. And if you haven't been out to the amphitheater in Round Rock, it's beautiful. It's fun. Penfold always does a really good job incorporating the wacky architecture around the thing, and it's just a wonderful evening out. And for more information, you go to penfoldtheater.org or penfold.org. Google Penfold Theater. It'll be there.
Yeah,
I went there. It was a lovely time.
Oh, did you saw it?
I did.
How did Jess do? Is she any good?
She, oh my gosh, she wears this bustle thing. She wears a bustle real well, everyone.
Lovely.
Yeah. And she's lovely and amazing.
Talk about outdoor theater and a bustle and heels.
Yeah. Well, you're in all the posters, and I keep going, Jess is everywhere. Every time I turn around, there's Jess in her bustle staring
so
at
Jess,
me.
Normally they do a reduced cast for these things. Is this the same deal? There are just a few of you?
Yeah, we've got six people. I get to play the same character, but there are, everyone else has to play multiple characters.
Well, I look forward to seeing it. What time is curtain? Is it 8?
It's 8 o'clock, yeah.
Okay. And again, you can Google Penfold. It's either penfoldtheater.org or penfold.org.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
He
but
has
they
theater. I think it's theater for some reason.
They always do such fun work out there. It's worth
love those Penfold.
The trip to Round Rock, which I like to call South Dallas.
Yeah. I do, too.
Okay, today in theater history. I'll try to make this quick. 1929, this is the birthday of Cy Coleman. He is a composer who did such shows as Sweet Charity, I Love My Wife on the 20th Century, City of Angels, The Mrs. Life,
Primrose
which
is
The it? Life does not have a soundtrack that I could find. That's
yes,
all I
it
want
does.
To say.
You've played songs
it
from
does?
It.
All right.
I've played songs from it.
Then,
it's The Big Red Shoe. It's the
Oh, that's
it's
right. I just played something
hookers.
From
you
it.
You just played something, and Nick and I were like, we love the
I
music from this show.
I just played something for that. Why? iTunes.
Giant red shoe on the front.
I need to speak to iTunes because they were acting up this morning.
Yes.
1979, there was a new music. I almost totally forgot about this. Flowers for Algernon, the musical.
Oh.
Charles Strauss.
Yeah.
It opened in Queens. It had a very short
Closed
Broadway
quickly.
Run.
I wonder
but it,
why.
It starred a pre-Phantom Michael Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
What? Y'all are talking, but you... but. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I just said it's such an excellent idea for a musical.
Well, you
if,
know, if you
if
stop
American
and say,
Psycho can be a musical.
Listen, if you stop and
I
say,
guess that's true.
Because the person goes, I'm going to make The Color Purple a musical.
Oh.
You'd laugh at someone, and it's brilliant. So
fair enough.
Yeah. Elephant Man, exclamation point. You're right.
Okay, so this is the anniversary of the death of Alan J. Lerner. Doing songs with his collaborator Frederick Lowe. Hello. Brigadoon, Paint Your Wagon, My Fair Lady, Gigi. Which we know how you feel about Gigi.
No, I have a problem with the creepy man and Gigi
I know,
the movie.
I know. So in 1988, Jose Quintero did a revival of Long Day's Journey into Night, starring Jason Robards and Colleen Dewhurst.
Love both of them.
Yep. And then this is the anniversary in 2002. Hairspray in Seattle started its trip up to New York City. That's it.
No, 2002, Hairspray the Musical?
Hairspray Future the Tony winning musical, Hairscape begins a triumphant tryout at Seattle's Fifth Avenue Theater.
Hairspray the Musical was open on Broadway in 2002 already.
Well, we'll check it out.
I can tell you because I was at the 9/11 anniversary the first year in the musical and it had been open.
We'll still check it out. So there could be a typo here.
Wow.
Okay. And 2011, this is the opening of When Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark after the longest preview, 182 previews ever. So we won't go into
5 years.
We won't talk about it because we spent a lot of time talking about it at the time. And this also is the revival of Harvey opened in 2012 with Jim
Parsons,
which I really wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And here, our locally, we had a lovely production of Harvey with one
Martin Burke.
He did a great job. Other birthdays, Burl Ives, Sam Wanamaker, Gene Barry. We had a lot of local birthdays.
I think there's
Alex Alford of Austin Shakespeare.
Hello, Alex.
Gwen Kelso.
Yes, hello, Gwen.
Dennis Whitehead.
I miss Dennis. Yeah,
and Mr. Jim Reynolds, formerly of Zach.
Yes, he's up at the Lyric in Oklahoma.
He moved away.
He's the managing director of the Lyric Theater of Oklahoma now.
On Friday, it's Joanne Reyes, mm-hmm. Formerly of Teatro Vivo. Veronica Pryor, who does a lot of Austin Theater Project stuff, is a costumer. And Saturday is one Robert Tolero, who will be on this show next week.
That's a lot of birthdays.
How do you get to be a big enough deal in Austin Theater to get on the KOOP birthday list?
You have been
here before.
Fair enough.
The trick is to have your birthday on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Oh, fair enough.
There you go.
Or Saturday. So sorry, you Sunday, Monday, Tuesdayers. You don't get it. So that's the trick. And be friends with me on Facebook because that's where I get it. So we're going to take another little break. And what are we going to listen to? Hold on, because we're out of order. I got to figure out where we're going locally.
The City of Angels.
City of Angels, right. So that's what we're going to listen to.
You know
why,
Lisa? You can count on me.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to work on that one.
I would like to thank
the incomparable Jess Hughes. Who not only is kicking it up at the Round Rock Amphitheater, but she is one of the best promo readers we've ever had.
Aww. It's another Bert Healy moment brought to you by
It is
Jess
another Bert
Hughes.
Healy moment. I'm not quite sure what that means, but you always say it.
Annie, the Bert Healy, and the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-
that microphone. I have never seen Annie, ever. The movie, both of them.
Lucky.
I know, don't go there.
We went to the musical together. You did, we saw it.
I've never seen Annie.
You went with me here.
No, never seen it. I have never seen it.
I think you were there.
I don't think so. Anyway, let's switch gears and let's talk to Shrewd Productions. Shannon Grounds is here. She's the artistic director.
Hello.
And also a performer in this show. And Sarah Marie, a.k.a. Anne Marie Curry, is also here.
My brother is listening to this live, and he texted me that I should start calling you Susan.
I would go for that.
You do look like
Where'd
Susan,
Where'd he come up
though?
With Susan?
I don't know.
Couldn't it be Heather or Becky?
No, you look
Becky?
More like a Susan than a Heather. I like
okay.
Susan.
I'm Susan Sheps. I like alliterative names.
I like
names.
Susan. You do.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Susan Sheps with Offstage and On the Air. We're talking to Anne Marie Curry.
Nice, nice. No confusion at all. Confusion. People just
so,
tuning in.
So Shannon, and also unfortunately not here because had car trouble. Rudy Ramirez is directing this piece, which is wonderful. So the Shrewd's mission is to focus on women, and this does not disappoint. Tell us about the show.
that is correct. It is a play that takes place in the French Revolution. The four main characters are One, a historical figure that you probably have not heard about, Olympe de Gouges, who was a playwright during the French Revolution. She was a central figure in the revolution, and she's played by Sarah Marie, a.k.a. Anne-Marie Curie.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette, played by myself. Charlotte Corday, played by Griselda Silva, who assassinated Marat, the journalist. Mm-hmm. And then a fictional character, but who is based on historical people, Marianne Angèle, who is a freedom fighter in the Caribbean.
Do y'all perform this with French accents?
No.
Oh, darn.
We
do the proper nouns in French accents, Olympe de Gouges and Marat, but we don't. I do not do a French accent very well, as you can tell. It's terrible.
Right. Mine would sound really bad.
I wanted to, but Rudy said no.
Rudy said no.
He is the director, very smart.
And he said no.
I have one quick question that I know that my listeners are just curious about. Is there or is there not cake?
There is cake.
Oh, good.
We do have cake at concessions. We had a very lovely baker who is friends with one of our cast members who made very special cupcakes for us.
Lovely. So we can let them eat cake.
Yeah, you can come to the show. You can eat cake.
My husband came last weekend and he said, good cake.
Good cake. So this is, that was
awesome.
Not so sure about the show, but the cake was really good.
He's a very honest man. I said, but how was I? And he said, that production was really good.
Oh, no.
He said that.
She's being modest.
Did he sleep on the sofa?
No, that's good for him.
Oh, okay.
He's a very taciturn man.
If I say, how was I? And somebody, and the answer comes back, the show was good. That would make me think that they didn't think I was very good.
He said other stuff, but it's private.
Oh, okay.
It's what makes it marriage.
This is a comedy drama, serio comic.
I would say it's mostly a comedy. It's a darkish comedy. Definitely some serious stuff happening.
I will tell folks that there is a lovely trailer on the website. Mm-hmm. What is the website?
Shrewdproductions.com.
Right, and you can see a trailer. I think you get a really good feel of the feel. Of the show.
Yeah.
You get the whole vibe. I
got. Wait, hold on just a second. I don't know why, but your microphone just totally wasn't turned on.
You get the whole vibe from watching it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is this a show? So I will say this. We're running low on time. Are you guys going to be able to join us backstage?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Good. So we're gonna keep talking, but we're going to pick up more about the show. We'll start backstage at Offstage talking more about the show specifically.
Gorgeous.
Because we talked and talked and talked about the Tonys and you know how that is. So tell us the message of this show.
Oh, wow. There are a lot of messages of this show.
I feel like... one of my favorite messages, and there are a lot of messages, but one of them is don't settle for the story that they're giving you.
Oh, great.
I love that message in the show. And I think the thing that speaks to me the most about doing this piece is that it's about the French Revolution. There's no contest. Everything they're talking about is about the French Revolution and how they feel within it. But it's mirroring now. So beautifully.
Oh, right.
That it's allowing you, without telling you, it's allowing you to ask the questions about how you feel about the now society.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense because the French Revolution was about the difference in classes.
Indeed.
Very much as we're experiencing here in this and other countries around the world right now.
Absolutely. And I think another thing I like is for me, it's a hard show to describe, but I'd say it's sort of about being revolutionary while being female.
Yeah.
And how that's different. And that's something that you don't necessarily, when you're studying the French Revolution in school, you pick up on the class stuff, but not the gender stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to end it there. We're going to pick that because I want to ask more about that question. So this is a good reason to get the podcast.
Hello.
Okay, so that's
you
what we're going to pick
need
up.
A reason,
and you shouldn't need a reason, but we will pick up more of this. But for those people that are just listening on the broadcast, when do you open?
We are open.
You are open now, and when?
We have two more weekends starting up again this Thursday.
All right, you open. You open on the 9th. It says here.
Yes.
Which is in the past.
Yes.
We go back in time.
And you close on the 25th.
Yes, we close. On the 25th.
Tell us about the venue that you're in.
We're at the Santa Cruz Theater, which is the Aztlan Dance Space on East 7th.
Great. And if people want to get more information, where should they go?
Shrewdproductions.com.
Or, as I said in my thing, shredproductions.org. Yeah,
that will take you to something different.
Oh my God, but actually, shrewdproductions.org will also get you there.
It will also get you there, yes. But, org or com.
So we'll pick this up again at backstage if that works with you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So that we were just speaking to Shannon Grounds and Sarah Marie Curry of Shrewd Productions, The Revolutionists, running now through the 25th. Curtain is at 8 o'clock at the Santa Cruz Center for Culture on East 7th. For more information, shrewdproductions.com. We will be right back.
What shall he have that killed the deer?
Okay, I did not change the music. That was supposed to be Revolution, because you strong. Revolution is all about revolutions. So that's it. Oh, your microphone isn't on, and I'll get it on in just a second. Hey, now your microphone is on.
Hello.
So another good show.
Yes, a very good show.
Yep. So we got
to... You're not here, though, the next few weeks.
I am not here
like
the next
few
weeks, but it'll be you and Nick Mayo. But we've got to run away because we're running late. So we are going to run out with... And please stick around for Austin
Monitor
News, which is next. And boy, this new way I printed the script is just killing me. We're going to listen to whatever's coming up here. We're going to see what it is.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
It's more than a contest.
All right, the curtain has just come down on Chaos the Musical, the story of a crazy radio program that just got out of hand, and our hapless attempts to gain control. We didn't do a very good job. So here we are backstage. We have gone through the backstage door. We're down here the stairs in the puddles of unnamed liquid by the dumpsters. And we have here with us right now Sarah Marie Curry. And Shannon Grounds.
Hello.
Hey. And of course, Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
So we're just going to, we don't typically do this on Backstage at Offstage, but I feel like you didn't get enough time to talk about your show. So we're going to spend some time talking about your show. And I'm told you're going to do a scene.
Yeah.
I want to start with the whole idea, the French Revolution, from a, you didn't say female perspective, but something around being female.
I just I feel like kind of one of the underlying themes of the play is being revolutionary while being female.
Right.
And so how that's can be different.
Yeah. So one of the major themes of the French Revolution in general was this concept of equality and how that was basically a pretty new thing. The Enlightenment happened, right. A lot of new ideas. And the women of the Revolution, a lot of the thinkers went, equality for all, right? That includes women.
Right.
And that includes the fact that the French still have slave colonies, which our character that Valenicia plays, Marion Angel, talks about the hypocrisy of that. And so women in the French Revolution are saying, we deserve to be equal. We deserve... Olympe de Gouges, the character I played, says, I should be measured by the work that I do, not the sex that I have. And they went, no, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they cut off her head for unrelated issues, but still. So that.
But this is a battle that carries forward.
Yeah.
We're fighting it today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So talk about the scene you're going to do.
This is a scene between Olympe de Gouges, the playwright, and Marie Antoinette.
Okay. And so we'll get right to it. And so this is Sarah Marie Curry and Shannon Grounds doing a scene from Shrewd's production of The Revolutionists.
Okay, things are going to start moving really fast now. Marat's death has made things very bad very quickly. The revolution has turned violent. Anything done or said against the Republic is now treason. Treason is punished by death. There are mobs in the streets. Marat's a martyr. Charlotte's on trial. And I have finally found something to write about.
Marie? Is that me, Marie? The Queen, Marie? The me Queen?
Yes, can you not yell all of your revelations as you have them?
Gasp! Sigh! Retort! Oh, that feels like such a right move.
Well, the declaration was a bust, and you're really interesting.
Right?
Back to plays. Fiction I can fix. Reality is way too hard to write. At least drama has some structure. We're headed somewhere clear. And I have to admit that this play could be good. Like, actually good.
And it's really about me? Hilarious.
Actually, it's a very serious historical epic political drama with a few songs that will tell the story of the women of our age, a vindication for generations, because it will last 5 hours.
Oh. But the title, something cute, something that says, she's innocent, perhaps the lovely queen, or maybe Braveheart.
No, it has to be sweeping and profound, something like France Preserved.
Sounds delicious.
Or maybe France Saved.
Oh, that's nice. I'm thinking, ooh, is France an ingenue tied to the train tracks? And what are trains?
France Saved or a tyrant dethroned. There we go. That's
do
it.
What now?
I want a country that owns itself, and I don't think we can do that with a monarchy.
Silence! No queen? No, that is not... Wait, do I die in the end?
I haven't written the end.
You said we're headed somewhere clear. Drama has structure. Well, where are we headed and why is it not a beach?
Look, when a person...
No, you look. I'm the main character of this thing, right? So let's make me not die, okay? Let's do that.
Sometimes the story tells itself.
Then you better tell this story to behave. I have precious little time to force history to like me. Tell me what you're writing.
I'm halfway through the story. I don't have time to go back.
Aren't we all? Tell me.
Setting. The queen's private chamber in the palace on the eve of the fall of the monarchy.
That's a bad day to set a romantic comedy.
It's not a romantic comedy. Look, you're desperate, okay? You're plotting any way to uphold the crumbling royal institution while the revolutionary forces are at your door.
Get away from the door, Marie.
When a woman comes to you to convince you to let go of the old ways and embrace the new, to compromise, her name is Olympe, and she...
Hold the throne. You're writing about yourself now?
It's a character.
Named after you.
Yes, but when...
Isn't that confusing? I'm confused. I hate it when theater confuses me.
I call it meta-theater. The point is to be a little confusing.
I hate it. I already hate
you
it.
You don't hate it.
This play is trash.
This play could save us both.
Come on.
By showing you learning your lesson, for starters, by showing revolutionaries that revolutions needn't be so bloody, that they can be kind and creative. I am telling you, Your Majesty, this play will be important.
If it's not a romantic comedy, nobody will come.
I'll add a butler.
Hilarious.
Butlers will always do it.
I was like, butlers, that's the kick. That's that was wonderful. It.
How much fun is that? And I love the pacing. So is that the kind of pacing we would see typically throughout the whole show?
100%.
Yes. Wonderful. And you know, one thing we didn't talk about on the airwaves is, do we take kids to this?
No,
it's not really.
PG-13, maybe?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, PG-13.
Yeah.
We like to throw those movie
things
around.
We like to
around.
Throw the movie ratings in.
It's the reign of terror. We'll just say
terror.
That.
Terror.
Although, I have to say.
I love Marie Antoinette.
When I was 13, I couldn't get enough. When I was in France, all I wanted to do was do anything I could learn about Marie Antoinette.
Fair enough.
She is a sick little individual, powder puffing her animals out in a little hamlet on Versailles. Like, she's a crazy nut.
She's a crazy. Maybe you should think about changing the title to Crazy Nut.
But if you think about it, like the celebrity antics that we hear about nowadays.
Same kind of stuff.
Exact same kind of thing. Yeah. Just in this weird little isolated bubble of like self-ego poison.
And of course, back then it was really isolated because we didn't have the media to, you know.
Right.
And there's actually a lot of misconceptions about Marie Antoinette. I've done a lot of research on her, and so much that we think we know. About Marie Antoinette.
I'm in love with
her.
No, I knew that. I'm in love with her. And I discovered that being over there going, this is not who you know is, oh, the let them eat cake late. Like, there's way more to it. And
yeah, most of us, including myself, really only know about the cake.
Yeah, which she never said.
No, I
that's
like,
true.
She didn't
I knew
even
that.
Say it.
But the idea was, I mean,
yeah,
I think
idea,
I think it's more
yes.
the idea than anything else. Well, that's great. So no, we're not under the same restrictions as we were when we were on the air. So
aww.
If you want to mention prices or command people to come see it, feel free.
I command you to come see it.
How much are tickets?
Tickets start at $15.
Okay.
And then there are sort of fancy options. If
there's
you
some
like.
Fancy options.
There's some fancy options like the Versailles tables that are $75 for two.
Lovely.
You know, and general admission is $18. Priority seating is $20.
There's lots of choices.
A shrewd lovers package for two that's $60. It's really anywhere from $15 to $37.50 per person.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming. Tell people the website one more time.
It is Shrewd, SHREWD Productions.
Nice.
.com.
Go see the show. How's that, guys?
Yeah,
thank you. Wonderful. So now here, so the other thing, really, what we do back here is talk to you, not about your show. But we spend a lot of time. But here's what I'd like to do: just if tell us something that we don't know about you guys individually. What would you, outside of theater, Sarah Marie?
Outside of theater, what you don't know about me? Oh. I'm actually an introvert. People that know me know this, but I don't gain energy from being social, even though people are like, oh, you've got so much bubbly energy. My husband is gone on a trip for 9 days right now, and I'm home alone with my cat, and I'm so happy.
People do not understand that. So people that are gregarious and outgoing can easily be an introvert.
Yeah, man, yeah.
And people don't That's understand me. That. Thank you.
Misconceptions.
Absolutely. I know her. Body. That was my sorority name.
Oh, you haven't done that one.
Misconception.
We haven't heard your sorority names in a while.
Shannon, what don't we know about you?
Man,
oh, go ahead.
It's not that I don't love people. I love people, but yeah.
You don't need to be, you don't need to get defensive about this. It's good.
Thanks, guys. I love that you understand me.
We love our Sarah Marie Curry.
Yeah.
And our Anne Marie Curry. Susan and Anne Marie. That's going to be the next show.
I like that.
I don't know what people don't know about me.
Well, tell us, what are your passions outside of theater?
Actually, cooking.
Cooking.
Baking, yeah.
But well,
baking is my love language.
Okay.
Shut up, really?
Yes, and in fact, Sarah is a non-gluten, non-sugar person, so I'm trying to figure out how to love her.
It's impossible.
You can't. You can't. So you just have to X her out of your life.
No.
So cooking, so in my opinion, cooking and baking are sort of two different things.
I do them both.
You do them both. Excellent.
She says in her sultry
voice. I know in my sultry voice.
What's your, do you have a signature dish? If I were to ask you to audition for Master Chef, what would you cook?
I would do my horseradish and roasted garlic encrusted beef tenderloin.
You sold me at horseradish. Yeah. You hadn't even gotten the beef in there. You just said horseradish.
I like crusted anything.
Yeah.
Yes, with probably some roasted asparagus and some scalloped cheesy potatoes.
Now she's just talking dirty.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage. We have to make room for the young Austin Shakespeare folks to come in.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
we'll you see so you guys. Well, I just love talking to Shannon and Sarah Marie.
Anne Marie.
Oh my God. I just had deja vu.
What?
So that was very nice of them to come backstage. And you did notice that they threw a little French in there.
Oui.
Oui, comment? Un petit peu.
C'est comment?
So we are now backstage. Some of the young Shakespeare folks navigated the puddles of unnamed liquid and threw around the dumpsters here backstage at the theater. And we have here Owen Chance. Hey, Owen.
Hello.
We have Robin Karsner.
Hello.
And we have Gabrielle Lewis.
Hello again.
Robin, do people call you Carter? People must mispronounce your last name a lot.
Yeah, I get Carter a lot.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yep.
Really? With the S in there, huh?
Well, because Carter is such a common name,
mm-hmm.
and your eye goes, it sort of looks like Carter. And of course, you know, S and T are pretty close on the keyboard. You could like...
Yeah, they're not that close.
Where is I just noticed your necklace. Robin is wearing a Comedy Tragedy frown mask. Comedy Tragedy frown mask.
That's great. I was about to go.
Comedy
I
Tragedy
like
mask.
The name of that
necklace.
One.
I have one when I was a kid. My mom gave me one very similar to that, and I still have it in a drawer somewhere.
Is it from the James Avery?
Mine is from the James Avery.
Yes. No,
I know it's. That's why I said I go that.
Back
James
in my
Avery.
Back in my day, James Avery only made crosses.
Oh, they were still doing just the
yeah. So where did you get that? Tell us. Is there a story behind that?
I got it for my eighth grade graduation.
Nice.
From my parents. So yeah.
Awesome. So you have been. I'm going to take a guess here, that you have been working and doing theater since at least before eighth grade.
Yes. I've been doing it
I was
since
right.
about fifth grade. But
and what grade are you in now?
I'm going to be a junior.
You're a rising year. Junior.
Yes,
okay,
am.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. But I've been doing theater more seriously since eighth grade-ish.
What does that mean, more seriously?
Just like kind of realizing that I want to do this in the future,
mm-hmm.
Maybe major with it in college. So we'll see.
And what have been some of your favorite roles so far?
Some of my favorite roles have been, I just recently played Katrin in I Remember Mama, which was so much fun. And actually last year with Twelfth Night, I got to play Mariah, which was so fun because I had never done a Shakespeare performance before. And so it was a really good learning experience.
Some people call the wind Mariah.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun.
So for extra points, tell me what show that's from.
She's making a reference.
It's a Broadway musical reference. They call the wind Mariah. Anybody else know?
Nope.
It's from, of course, I totally drew a blank. I can see Lee Marvin did it in the movie.
Yeah, I don't forget.
Paint Your Wagon.
Thank you.
Oh, my Lord. That was hard.
That's not one I could really see. That's not a popular one.
It's not a very popular one. No. But it's not like I know sound that music. They Call the Wind Mariah was always like a sixth grade choir song that we had to do.
I feel like it was a church song.
It might have been a church song, but I'm Jewish, so we didn't do that.
Yeah.
So tell me what brought you into theater? What got you going the first time?
I had a really great theater teacher in middle school who just really loved what she did, and for both me and my brother, actually, I saw her work through both of us, and how, like, now that we both love theater so much, I really credit a lot of that to her. And as I went on to high school, seeing that my high school had a really good theater program, I was very excited about it, and so a lot of the resources that I had just made me more excited and want to do it more. So
what middle school and what's the teacher's name?
I went to Trinity, and my teacher's name was Miss Alexander.
Shout out to Miss Alexander. We talk a lot about how important teachers are in arts education.
Teachers are everything.
And thankfully, the Tonys have been for the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing a teacher.
They got it off on the side like James Earl Jones, though. Like, let's bring it prime time.
Very true. And so what high school did you go to?
I go to St. Andrews.
St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. And are you also a musical performer?
I kind of do music separate from theater, but I do a little bit of musical theater, but it's mostly just normal plays.
What about the two of you guys? Gabrielle Owen, musical theater?
Musical theater? There's a musical theater class at my school that I'm...
It's not what I asked you.
I'm not a part of it, but there is a separate musical that the entire school can partake in, which I did.
And Gabrielle?
I used to do music and choir when I was younger, but then I transitioned to just straight plays and theater.
Okay, so here's the deal. As someone slightly older, who thinks that they may try to make a career out of theater?
That's the hope and the goal.
Okay, so here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to tell you. As someone who wishes that they had done it when I was your age, you really need to sing and dance and act. You need to be what we call a triple threat.
Even if you only did a straight play for the rest of your life.
Right. So I would actually have sort of a good example is Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, who he is a film actor now. Did anybody watch Grimm?
Oh, she's TV so series? Awesome.
She's the mother of Grimm. She's the mom. Anyway, she has it's got mom. An incredible, she's a musical theater performer. That's what she started, but she hasn't done a musical theater. And Papa Pope, Joe Morton, also a musical theater performer. Really learn all of those things. Mm-hmm. That's what would be my advice to you. So, Owen, take that musical theater course. And Robin, start to meld your music and your theater together. And Gabrielle, get back on the horse. Let's do everything. Okay.
Got to get the dance first for me before I can.
Well, you want to actually do them all at the same time, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't ignore all three. If you want to make it, you need to be an excellent singer, an excellent dancer, and an excellent actor.
Patrick Page is another good example. I mean, he is so like Mr. Shakespeare and actor, and Tom Hewitt. They're some of the best Shakespearean actors we have. They can sing and dance rings around you too. And yeah.
Yeah.
You really should know all of them, even if that is your whole thing is Shakespeare all the time.
So a lecture over. So Owen, what grade are you in?
I am a freshman.
You're a freshman. A rising freshman?
No, I was a freshman this past year. I'll be a sophomore.
You're a rising sophomore. I just like to say rising X because it's something I just learned a few years
ago.
Here's
the best part, though. When they had to fill out what name and age of school they were going to, my list says rising senior, rising junior. I'm like, I didn't have to add the rising, and I love the rising. Lisa and I didn't use that terminology when we went to school, and it's pretty badass.
We did. It is. It's badass. So you're rising sophomore. You just finished your freshman year. What high school?
Anderson High School.
Anderson High School. So I'm guessing from our private previous conversation that you were not part of the musical theater offerings that they did there.
Did you do?
So there were two musicals that the school did. One of them was the specific musical theater class, which I was not part of, so I wasn't in that musical.
Okay.
There was a different musical we did, Curtains, which I was a part of.
Curtains!
And that actually went to GATSMA, and we won the Best Direction Award, which was
lovely.
Awesome. Nice.
So you were in Curtains?
Yes.
What'd you play?
I was part of the Old West ensemble background people.
Awesome. I did not get to see Curtains.
Well, first of all, it's a Candor and Ebb show. It was one of the last of the three written after Fred Ebb died. And I saw it on Broadway with one David Hyde Pierce. It is a wonderful show. It's fun. It's just a waka-waka, good old school fun kind of show. It's not overly...
So to the question for all of you, what do you guys like to do outside of theater?
They had to think about
that. I would have had to think about it too.
I really enjoy learning how to play new instruments and like teaching myself.
New instruments? Yeah, how many do you already play?
Right now I play ukulele, guitar, and piano.
Lisa and I are looking at each other going,
I want to learn maybe the banjo. That I know that's very hard, but
I play the kazoo and the spoons.
Ooh. And the jew's harp.
Oh, that's right.
I play the juice harp.
I forgot that.
But I can't play the spoons, so.
Well, you were on.
I have no rhythm.
Can you kazoo?
I can kazoo.
I'll spoon it.
Okay. Gabrielle, what about you? What other interests have you besides theater?
Well, for the last 2 years of high school, I pretty much had to split my time between theater and schoolwork. So I didn't do much else, but I also like writing poetry.
Oh, cool. Ah. What's give us a feel of your poetry.
Give you
you don't have to do it, but I mean, is it so a lot of people will do like angry non-rhyming
is it like
poetry?
Is it or Edgar Allan Poe? I mean,
a lot of the poetry that I'm more proud of is just based off of things that have happened in my life, typically like the sadder events, like my grandmother passing away. A lot of my poetry that I feel proud of now comes out of darker emotions, I think.
Have you performed it?
No, I have not.
Well, that could be something you could do. But I hear you. I used to write a lot of verse, but nobody's ever seen it. Mm-hmm. I do it all just for me.
So yeah, you haven't shared that with me.
Yeah, there you go. Owen, did you tell us what your outside interests are?
It's a lot of music stuff. I'm doing a chamber music thing over the summer, and then I'm also in the higher band.
What do you play?
I play bassoon, contrabassoon, tuba, sousaphone, bass guitar.
Oh, okay.
And I'm teaching myself guitar and piano.
What?
Oh,
what?
Are you doing enough there, Owen?
So I've actually told this to other people who play double reed instruments. A very good friend of mine was a musician in New York, and she used to say, she did symphonic music, but she always said that people that play double reed instruments are crazy, and all they do is sit at home at night making reeds. Is that what you do?
He doesn't want to say no.
I know how to make reeds, but I haven't actually bought the tools yet. If I did have the tools, that would probably be a lot of money.
I must say that the double reed instruments and they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. The sound is beautiful. It's so rich and full, like a French horn, which I understand is not a double reed instrument.
Definitely not.
So please don't email me. but it's got that same kind of quality, that rich, smooth, like velvet. It's like caramel in the morning.
Yes.
All right. So here's the thing that I would like the three of you to agree on. Do you know musicals? Do you listen to musicals?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I want the three of you to agree on one song that you all three like. Go.
Waving Through a Window hits me really emotionally, but also So Big, So Small. Just all of it is so good.
Oh, about Waving Through a Window, because
yeah, I am right now.
Yeah, I am too, and we can actually hear it right now as we speak. Waving Through a Window. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here backstage, and I cannot wait to see you at the curtain. Bye.
Because I'm tapping on the glass, waving through a window.